Hey, it's Ragnar Danjel with a Pirates Week Extra for Tuesday, September 13th.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danjel.
Well, hey everybody, this is Ragnar Danjel and you're listening to the Pirates Week, an extra. I was a little under the weather last time around. I thought I owed you a little more. So I came up with the extra feed. Actually, there was a couple news stories that popped up that I really wanted to share with you that I forgot about last time, or actually a new one and one I forgot about. So let's get right into it. This is going to be really short. I only have two things I want to talk about. The first thing, it's been last week was in the news. I'm sure you've been following, like everybody else in the world, the Katrina debacle, or... Well, some people might even say it's not that much of a debacle, but that's an argument for another time. I'm sure that many of us could, or at least I could argue with a lot of people about what actually happened in the Southland of the United States, and it'd be pretty fun, something we could do over a few beers. But really, I do want to talk about something that's been going on in radio. Well, not just really all about what the hams have been doing down there. Another take on radio during the whole Katrina evacuees. And I'm referring to the what was happening at the Houston Astrodome. And when the low-power FM people in the area tried to put up a 30-watt radio station under the name KAMP, or the Katrina Aftermath Media Project, a 30-watt station within, just within the dome, to try to get information from FEMA and from the rescue organizations to the evacuees. And, well, like all things in government, government didn't like that and shut it down. County officials actually shut it down this time around, not that much of the FCC, but the county officials told KAMP organizers that the limited electricity and potential problems getting access for the radio station staff made the plan impossible. Well, that was really kind of nuts, because, you know, the low-power FM people said, well, we had Sony Corporation. Sony was donating 10,000 radios to... And that was one of the county officials saying, well, they don't have radios. So I said, well, we got Sony that we're going to donate 10,000 radios to have everybody be able to hear our station. I mean, talk about, I mean, that's mass media right there. When Sony comes in and says, okay, we'll give you 10,000 little portable radios so all the evacuees can hear what you're trying to say just within this little 30-watt FM station within the Astrodome. Then they said, well, no, you're using too much power. They said, well, we can run it on batteries. You know, that's not a big deal. And, well, they still shut them down. And they never did get KAMP on the air. And all those people, now they're pretty much emptying out the Astrodome at this point in time. But, you know, it was a real debacle. And it was just another... It was just another instance of big government saying, well, you're doing something different. Or at least this is in my opinion, that you're doing something different and we don't like that because we don't have a lot of control on that. This is new, this is different. I don't think it was pretty that much of suppressing information as it was, oh, we're bureaucrats and we don't like something new because we don't know how to handle it. And, you know, it's not something that's in my plan, so... We're not going to allow it. And that's what happened. They did not allow it. So, you know, you had Sony there with 10,000 radios. You had all the volunteers. They were bringing their, supplying their own power. And it still didn't happen. They couldn't do it. Anyways, I got a quick take on this whole little fiasco from the Media Minutes. So let's take it right now. You can take a quick listen to how the Media Minutes took on this little controversy.
Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated from New Orleans and other communities to several places, one of which is Houston, Texas, where people have been mass housed at the Astrodome and Reliant Center. Media activists are working hard to build ad hoc wireless computer networks in these particular shelters to facilitate the sharing of emergency information and reunion of family and friends. The Federal Communications Commission also approved the construction of 3 low-power FM radio stations to broadcast inside the venues. Tish Stringer is a volunteer with the Houston Independent Media Center. She says the lack of communication is a real hardship on the displaced and those trying to help them.
People had no information about the location of their loved ones. There was a real difficulty getting information for basic things like when to eat, where to eat, how to get my child into school, how to look for jobs, transportation, really basic issues. There was no circulation of information going on.
Even though the transmitting equipment is ready to go, local officials will not let the stations begin broadcasting. Stringer says their first excuse was a lack of radios for the displaced to listen to.
Before I can let you on the air, I need to know that you're going to distribute radios, a very specific kind of radio that she laid out what kind it would be. She said, I need you to have 10,000 radios in your hand before you can go on the air. In one day, we got 10,000 radios. We have 10,000 radios right now, ready to distribute in the Astrodome.
Then, a self-appointed incident commander on the scene barred radio volunteers from the Astrodome, claiming the facility couldn't spare the electricity to run the station. A preposterous claim, since the transmitters draw less power than an average incandescent light bulb. Now, Houston officials say they plan to empty their shelters by the end of the month, which leaves the status of the entire radio project unclear.
Well, there you go, everybody. You just heard it from a little clip from the Media Minutes. They're just going to wait them out, and there will be no low-power FM station. I mean, talk about broadcasting, taking information from a single point and broadcasting it over to a huge population easily and cheaply, and they just couldn't do it. Because why? Well, the bureaucrats, just it wasn't in their plan, and well, it doesn't really matter because we're going to have all these people out of here in a week or two anyways, and, you know, opportunity lost, you know, what do you say? That pisses me off. I mean, it's just bureaucracy that just will not allow innovation. Anyways, the second news story, I'm getting right along. I'm trying to keep this to 10 minutes. This is just a little extra from the Pirates Week. A little bit more piratey news, so to speak. A couple old pirates, a couple retired pirates. In case you really don't listen to them, WBCQ, Alan Weiner's station, WBCQ, just turned 7 this last week. 7 years old. And in Alan Weiner's Worldwide, his little broadcast on his station, he kind of reminisced over his station and when he started it and flipping on the switch to start up his station. And so let's go right to that, you know, and he talks a little bit about his station and taking his little group of happy pirates and turning them into regular broadcast station owners. So, hey, congrats to Mr. Weiner, and let's take a listen to Alan Weiner Worldwide.
Oh, we be mass communicating here at WBCQ The Planet. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Alan H. Weiner. And this is a special anniversary issue of Alan Weiner Worldwide. It is the 8th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2005. And 7 years ago to the day, Seth Gerber and I sat in this very same studio that I'm sitting in now, in front of this very same microphonium. And we hit the plate on. Actually, we had to do it manually because we didn't have our remote control system set up. And we turned on transmitter number 1, which at that time was the only transmitter we had. And 7415, going into our log periodic beam antenna, came upon the airwaves. It was kind of an impromptu thing. I remember back then, I didn't know when the start date was going to be, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We were going to have a party. We were going to invite people. And it just, we just got everything together. Tim Tron was up for a couple of weeks fine-tuning and working with me, getting the transmitter up to snuff and the audio fidelity correct and all this. And we had just done that, and I was, you know, we were testing, obviously, for pretty much the whole month of September. And we started recording the program, and we went on and announced the station and then opened up the telephonium lines. And to my great pleasure, propagation was very good that evening, and people were calling from all over the place, welcoming WBCQ on the air. It took a lot to get WBCQ on the air. I mean, it's amazing to think that 7 years have passed, because it took about 13 years of hard negotiations before that to get this station on the air. Because this station has roots. Yes, it has lots of roots. Just about everyone that has been and is been, or is been, well, and is, speak English, and is involved with this station, has at one time or another, now not everyone, but has at one time or another been a free radio operator, or a pirate radio operator, or a clandestine operator, whatever you want to call it. And we are a family-run radio station, meaning that it's just, you know, it's just a group of concerned American citizens that believe that the airwaves are a precious thing to be used and hopefully not abused, but used and available to all. And these are some of the things that we have seen here at the planet in the last 7 years of doing international broadcasting. Yes, we were born as pirates. I mean, I've spoken about my pirate career many, 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 many times. But the people that built this station all had some history in free radio, some history in trying to get access to the airwaves. And with WBCQ, we did it. And we're successful with it. This is a great radio station, and it's made great not by the people here that run it, but by you, the listeners, and you, the programmers. You're the ones that make this a great facility. I'm just an engineer and an operator.
So, what did we learn today with the Pirates Week Extra? Well, for one, that my cadence and voice sucks, and it sounds really, really bad in comparison to professionals like the Media Minutes and even Alan Weiner. But more importantly, we learned that bureaucracy in all forms, either the local government or the FCC, just can't handle unregulated media.
We at the FCC feel that democracy is all about protecting the rights of the ordinary citizen. Unregulated radio would result in programming of the lowest common denominator, the rule of the mob.
And we also learned that if you stick to your pirate's mentality long enough, sooner enough, you give up, or sooner or later, you give up and go legit. And hey, congratulations to Mr. Weiner and his 7 years as a legitimate broadcaster. Well, I am Ragnar Danjel, pirate extraordinaire, or ex-pirate, or podcast pirate, or God knows what you want to call me. Mostly just, you know, drunk. And that's another thing we learned today, is I do a little bit better when I'm sober. So I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Well, what else is there to say after that? Not much. See you guys.
This is the Pirates Week. Piratesweek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.